Dear brothers and sisters, our message for this Lord's Day comes from Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This is a psalm I preached from just about a year ago, fairly soon after I arrived here at the church. However, with the events that have unfolded in recent days, and because we're going to be unable to assemble together, at least for a time, I thought it would be an appropriate time for us to revisit this passage. Because right now, I think we might be able to appreciate the message of this psalm in a whole new way. And that is because Psalm 84 is a psalm about the temple and the beauty of the worship of God, something that we cannot enjoy right now as we ordinarily do. So let's listen to the text together. Psalm 84, we hear now the word of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk, whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Our Holy Father, we ask now for your blessing as we look to your word. Teach us your ways and grant us understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, our passage today, Psalm 84, speaks of a longing for the house of God. You'll notice in verse 2 that the psalmist says, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Notice there is a longing for the temple. It says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Remember, in Israel, the temple of God was the place where the Lord established his throne and his presence among his people. It was the place where the Lord Almighty dwelt among his people. And thus it was also the place where the children of Israel were to meet with God and offer their worship and sacrifices. It was the place that you would go to offer your sin offerings, your burnt offerings, and your peace offerings, which represented the forgiveness of your sins and the peace and fellowship that you now enjoyed with the Lord. It was the place you would go when you went to Jerusalem to join with the Lord's people in the celebration of the Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles, in which you would remember the great works of God and celebrate his mighty deeds among his people. It was the place you would go to receive the Lord's blessing as it was pronounced by the priests, who would say to the people, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace." The temple was the Lord's house. It was the place of worship. It was the place where the Lord dwelt among his people. And that is why the Lord's people of old loved the temple. That's why the temple meant so much to them. It wasn't just the impressiveness of the building. It was all that the building represented. The temple represented the Lord's presence in the midst of the people. It represented his communion and friendship with the people of his covenant. Yes, you could still pray to God from anywhere. You could have a relationship with God from any place. But it was the temple that represented the Lord's presence, his dwelling among his people. And as such, it brought great delight and joy to the hearts of God's people of old. They loved the house of God. We get a sense of that in this psalm, don't we? Did you notice how the psalmist spoke of the happiness, the joy of being at the house of God? Again, verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And then verse 2, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. And then verse 10, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. We hear the same perspective from King David in Psalm 27, verse 4, where he says this, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What was the one thing that David wanted? What was the thing he wanted more than anything? It was to dwell in the house of the Lord all of his days. He wanted to be at the house of his God. That is how the children of Israel were to think of the house of God. It was glorious to be there. It was better to be at God's house than any other place in the world. Indeed, it was better to spend one day at the house of God than 1,000 days at the beach or anywhere else that you might go. The psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's the importance of the temple. And that is why believers in the Old Testament loved the temple and longed to be at the temple of God. And yet, as we read the Old Testament scriptures, we also learn that there were times in Israel's history when the Lord's people couldn't go to the temple. There were times when you couldn't come to God's house and participate in the worship and enjoy all the blessings that would come from that. Think for a moment. Remember what happened at the time of the exile. Around the beginning of the 6th century BC, the Babylonians came into Judah and into Jerusalem. They subdued it, and then eventually they destroyed the temple and took many of the people into exile in Babylon, people like Ezekiel and Daniel. They were taken up into exile. And think for a moment about what that meant for the faithful among the children of Israel. There was now no temple. And many of them were now far away from Jerusalem, the city of the Lord. They couldn't go to the house of God. They couldn't offer their worship to the Lord. They couldn't go to the place which they loved and which they longed for, the place where you would rather spend one day than 1,000 elsewhere. Just imagine the sorrow that this would have brought to the faithful among the Lord's people. Yes, they could still pray. They could still sing psalms. They could still meditate upon the Word of God. But you couldn't go to the house of the Lord. You couldn't share in the worship. You couldn't do what the Lord had designed for his people, what the Lord intended for his people. You couldn't go to the house of God with all that that represented for the Lord's people. Think of the people at that time. Think of them in exile, crying out the words of this psalm, saying, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Think of what it would mean for the Lord's people to not have the temple that they loved and which they longed for. Well, brothers and sisters, this week and perhaps for some time ahead, we're getting a taste of what that experience is like. Right now, we're getting a taste of what it is like, of what it is like not to enjoy the Lord's temple as we are intended to. Remember, when we come to the New Testament, we learn that it is the church that is now the temple of God. The house of God, the temple of the Lord, is now the church in which God's Spirit dwells. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came down upon the temple, and the temple was filled with God's Spirit and glory. And in the New Testament, the Spirit came down upon the church, making the church to be the temple in which God's Spirit dwells. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says to the Corinthian church, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. We see the same idea in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter writes, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The New Testament scriptures are clear that the Church of Jesus Christ is now the temple of the living God. We are the house of God. We are the temple upon which the Spirit of God has come and in which the Spirit and glory of God now dwells. And so when we come together on the Lord's Day in worship, we are coming together as the temple of the living God. We are coming together as the house of God and as the dwelling place of God. And that is when we, as God's royal priesthood, offer worship and spiritual sacrifice to God. And so when we read Psalm 84, with its expression of love for the temple and longing for the temple, we as New Testament believers are to think in terms of the gathering of the church on the Lord's Day. It is the congregation of the Lord gathered for worship. That is the temple that we love and which we long for. That is the temple that we are to think of when we pray or read or meditate upon the words of Psalm 84. That is the temple that we as believers are speaking of when we pray the words of this psalm, saying, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." It is the church. It is the gathered church that is the temple of the Lord, which we love and which we long for. It is of the gathered church, it is of the church gathered for worship on the Lord's Day that we say, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Psalm 84 speaks of our love for the church and of the church coming together for worship in the presence of God. However, this week, and at least for a short time, we're not going to be able to enjoy the blessings of God's temple as we ordinarily do. Like the children of Israel at the exile, we are getting a taste, and hopefully it's just a short taste, of what it is like to not be able to go to the temple. We're not going to be able to come together as the house of God as we ordinarily do. We're not going to be able to come together as the house of God in which His Spirit dwells to corporately offer our worship. Yes, we can still approach God from our homes. We can still come before the throne of grace in prayer and in song. We can still meditate upon the Word of God in our homes. And we can still keep the Lord's Day as a Sabbath to the Lord. But we can't enjoy the temple as the Lord has intended us to. We can't participate in corporate worship with God's people as God has designed for us. We cannot come together as the temple in which the Spirit of God dwells. And I don't want to minimize that. To not be able to gather together as God's people, to not be able to assemble as the temple of the Lord with all that that means, that is a huge loss for us. The temple of God is the place that we love. As believers, we love the house of God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. When the children of Israel lost the temple, it was a huge loss to them. And when we as God's people today are unable to come together as the temple of God, that is also a huge loss for us. And I don't think that we should minimize it. Praying in our homes on the Lord's Day is good. Reading the scriptures in our homes is good. But it is no substitute for the gathering of the Church of Jesus Christ for worship before the throne of God. It is no substitute for the church gathered on the Lord's Day as the temple of God for the ministry of the Word and the offering of praise and prayer. So let's not minimize what we are losing at this time, and what we may be losing at least for a short time. Rather, let us say, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." There is no substitute for the temple of God. That is what God intends for us as His people. You know, in many churches, we have people who are described as shut-ins. They're part of the body. They're part of the congregation. But for health reasons, they're not able to come to worship on the Lord's Day. They would like to come. They would like to come, but because of their health, they're unable to do so. Well, today, that is how it is for all of us. And perhaps now we might be able to better empathize with those who are in that situation. We long for the house of God. We know that the Lord intends that we should enjoy His temple. We know that there is such blessing for us in the house of the Lord, and we're unable to participate it in the way that God intended for us. At least, we're unable to do so at this time. But brothers and sisters, the good news for us today is that because of our Lord Jesus Christ, there will come a time when we are never without the temple of the Lord. Because of our Savior and all that He has done for us, there will come a day when we shall enjoy the temple of the Lord in all its fullness. As I've said earlier, the temple has always been God's intention for His people. It's always been God's intention to dwell, to tabernacle among us. And the Bible shows us that the day will come when the Lord will extend His tabernacle over us and we will dwell with Him forever. I read from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. This is a prophecy describing the coming day of the new heaven and the new earth that will be after the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. Or we could put it, He will tabernacle with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." At the very end of the Bible, brothers and sisters, we have the temple of God, the Lord dwelling with His people forever. The day will come when we will never lack the temple of the Lord, when we will never have to miss worship. The day will come when, as Psalm 23 puts it, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is certain because of Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior, and all that He has done for us in dying on the cross and rising again. It is certain. But for now, brothers and sisters, let us all say, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." May the Lord help us to long for His temple today. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give You thanks for Your temple with us. We pray, O God, that in our hearts You would cultivate a longing for Your house, even now as we are unable to come and worship with Your people on the Lord's Day. May we long for it and hunger and thirst, O God, to be with Your people again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.